up a seat at the bar to join us for another episode of McAnally's Pubcast, a podcast exploring the fun and fantastical mind of Jim Butcher's The Dresden Files series. Host Tanzen, Maggie, and me bring you another round of literary analysis on this immense, immersive, and colorful environment inhabited by Harry Dresden, the world's only licensed private investigator and professional wizard. Join an active and engaged community of new and die-hard dedicated fans focused on the fabulous themes, theories, characters, context, lore, and more. This is McAnally's Dresden Files Pubcast by Free Flow Rambling. Conjure by it at your own risk.
Welcome to the McAnally's Pubcast, brought to you by Free Flow Rambling. This is episode 18.14, To Harry Dresden, Thanks for Everything, Julie Newmar, where we are covering the novel White Knight. My name is Tanzen, and I'm joined by Maggie.
Hello, hello.
And Jess.
Recondite.
What'd you say? What'd you call me?
The formal word used to describe something that is difficult to understand or that is not known by many people.
Recondite.
So it is literally itself.
Which, I mean, I guess most things are literally themselves, but you know.
So it's unknown
it's
to...
It's like the word is the definition of itself.
That's so weird.
I should make a word for that.
Chapter 27. Abby and Priscilla recount Helen's last involvement, and they figure out that Helen is a shill working for the enemy. Murphy meets up with the group as they start to make their move and informs Harriet that Jessica Blanche has ties to Gentleman Johnny Marcone. Abby and Priscilla explain that Helen received a call after they had left and said that she had to go to work.
So yeah, they're all like, nice, whatever, job is like so important, you have to go to work when you're like hiding for your life. And I'm like, yes and no. And again, I realize other people's quote unquote normal lives are different. But it's kind of like, on the one hand, I'm like, if I had to go to work, I'd be like, dude, I got to go to work. Like, you know.
Well, especially because they make the assumption that she works at some, you know, drive-thru or something embarrassing job where the consideration is at the lowest.
It is. Know? Yeah. So there is that. Because part of me is like, yeah, I'm like, well, Helen is like kind of like a middle. And again, we knew from before, right, that the Beckets were these super well-off business people, right? They had a limo, you know, their own little personal limo pickup and everything like that, right? So yes, on the one hand, it's like conceivable to be like, well, she has, but at the same time, I'm like, I guess, yes, you are thinking that. You're right. Maybe if I was expected at McDonald's and I thought someone was legit out to kill me or something, maybe I would be like, call it in. But it's just kind of funny, like, just, it's, I don't know, it's just like, yeah, I get both ways, you know? I'm like, I don't know, I guess if you're like a normal adult with like a real, sure, like, career job, I'm like, I hear they do just let you take flex days and shit, you know? You don't have to be sick and dying
beautiful
and have like
a world of 21st century where you can work from home now.
But that too, all these things were, they were all like, whatever, Helen's got to go to work and ain't taking no for now. She got to go.
But then Helen calls back and says, yo, I'm being followed. You need to get out of there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So great.
Very sus. Mm-hmm. Very sus.
I do like the point, though, about them being able to use cell phones because, okay, great. It's minor talent. They can use cell phones. That makes sense.
I was just going to say, yeah, it's just pros and cons because that's exactly Harry's point. He's like, oh, like it works. And Abby's like, well, mine works most of the time. And he's like, okay, well, at least she's not hiding a bigger talent. So on the one hand, yes, okay, fine, great. We know that Helen hasn't like leveled up significantly or anything like that since her little petty. But at the same time, it's also, Elaine's also kind of like, dude, like you're just like, okay, well, at least she hasn't been lying to us more than I thought she was lying to us.
Can you relax? Yeah. This is people's friend.
You know, like it's this, but at the same time, on the one hand, you're like, oh, okay, yeah, Harry, I get your point.
There's like then, 3 or 4 points in this conversation where he does it and Elaine's like, bro.
Yeah, and I mean, yes and no. Like on the one hand, you from Harry's point of view, yes, a little bit of dude, exactly, like they have, I know you just met her and you're upset but not invested the same way that even Elaine or these,
you guys would
have,
just think of Helen as the bad guy, it all makes sense.
Right, but again, it gets some of me because like Priscilla starts getting snippy again and she's like, Harry, this is not, at the same time I'm like, okay, but like again, 2 chapters ago you were like, shut the fuck up, Priscilla, like Harry's got a point, like be civil, and now she's getting all pissy again and you're still just like, Harry, don't, like Harry, let it go, like Harry, just, you know, and I'm like, yes.
Especially because, like, the person paying you, Elaine, is dead now, so you don't need to have any sides anymore. Or maybe that's why it's just a butter Priscilla now, hoping someone takes over the bill.
fuck, now somebody has to pay. I better be nice to all of them.
Yeah,
fuck.
Damn it.
Yeah, you're right. There you go.
You're funny.
Yes.
We can't all be do-gooders, Harry. Some of us actually want to make our rent this month. We're not all bullying our tiny little landlord upstairs.
Yeah, right. We don't all have Mrs. Spunklecreef as a landlady to just put up with our houses getting blown up all the time. And
they point out that Helen has been really suspicious in this last little bit here. And so Elaine asks Harry if it's possible that Helen is the scabies, but he thinks it's unlikely. And it's probably a shill instead working with the baddies to get the Ordo out of protection.
Yeah, and I mean, that's fair because reasonably you'd think it might have... I'm assuming that all white quartz come about the same way as the race and that they're all born with this. So I guess she would...
Maybe she's born with it.
Maybe it's Maybelline. Maybe.
Maybe she's born with
maybe
it.
Maybe it's vampirism. Yeah. But exactly right. It seems unlikely that she could have become one. So she would have had to have been way back when. So you'd think there would have just been a whole other way for Helen to be operating and blah, 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 blah beforehand. Again, she probably wouldn't have been married and all this kind of stuff. Although, I guess so. But anyways.
The blah, sex blah, blah, rituals blah. Would have gone really wrong.
They're exactly right.
She would have been sucking in all the energy instead of exuding it.
She would have been the shadow.
She would have been the shadow man. She would have had other ways to wreak vengeance on Marcone and screw things and access to powers and blah, 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 blah. So, yeah, for all that. So, I mean, yes, it is possible because, again, white court hides so much better than anybody else. But, again, I'm like, it seems really unlikely. And as far as I know, you can't be made at this point. Mm. That's not how the whites procreate or
anything. But you can
like
that. Be used.
But you can be used.
Well, this is how I know Harry loves Anna. The same as we all do because Anna's great. But
for the 5 minutes we knew her.
Yeah. No, Abby is what I mean to say.
Oh, Abby. Yes, Abby is a dark.
I can't keep track of them all, okay?
He names.
B. This is how you know Harry loves Abby, as we all should and do, because...
She's a super cute human.
Yeah, she's great and competent, and I love her, as we'll see in another page or two.
And she has a cute dog.
But she says herself, oh, I decided to stay at the apartment so that they could go pick up Helen because she got super scared and whatever. And Harry doesn't immediately snap at her like, I told you to stay together. Why the fuck do you think I gave you dogs? Like, because like that was another moment that I'm like, oh, you're just cool with she stayed home while the rest of them left? Like, you, like, oh, well, let the one person stay with the protection detail and everyone else go away. Like,
I that is my one thing. She's like, I just stayed here with the dogs. I'm like, I guess, yes, it's hard to tromp all over town with dogs, especially one as big. Like, Mouse was very, very well behaved, but he's a very, very large dog. So
he
I
needs
get
a whole
it's,
seat in a car.
It's not easy. But exactly. It was like, that was the whole fucking point is that
it's
Mouse is the
bodyguard.
One that keep you. Yeah. And I'm like, I guess, like, I understand you guys don't understand the same way. You don't know Mouse is special. But yeah, he was like, my dog will protect you from bad things.
At the and very like, least, oh, my dog is very good at sensing bad things, and they're like, we don't need it.
Yeah, like, again, like, even if you don't think he's got supernatural, just, yeah, like, he can sense.
My dog lived with the potential murderer for months.
You know, but it's just like, yeah, exactly. That was the one thing.
But he doesn't say anything about it. He's just like, yeah, of course. Makes sense.
Yeah. Right. Well,
And he wants to be mad at Helen. Like, he really does.
I know. No, that's what I'm saying, though,
so
too.
Biased.
It's like the bias is there because, Abby and Taylor
Abby could
like,
do no wrong. Yeah. I mean, well, that was fine that you did that, but she really should not have. Well, I mean, even like when he's like, oh, she just went off and she did this. And Priscilla being like, she's one of our friends. She's not like a criminal to be watched and mistrusted. And Harry's like, oh, that's exactly what she is. That's her parole officer. You know? And it's like, I mean, yeah, right.
You have a point.
Yeah. But yeah, if you're going to be snotty and have comebacks, like they have to, they have to be valid before you're.
So anyways, yes, Priscilla says that her and Anna left to go pick up Helen and then Helen needed insulin. But at that point, Priscilla's like, well, now I don't want to do this anymore. So drop me off and you two go off. Which is like just the weirdest thing. Harry's like, stay together. And they're like, I don't like driving. It sucks. I just want to be at home. I just don't
you
feel like
scared
it.
You were in trouble, so we came to pick you up.
I don't want to die, like, but I even more don't want to go pick up insulin. I don't want to stand in a pharmacy. That's my day ruined.
This time of day, I know how
I'm
going to
go back home and maybe get murdered instead.
There's puppies at home. I'm going to go chill with
just
Abby.
This group in a Saw movie? He'd be like, chew off your own arm. And they'd be like, oh, God, can we do it next week? And just like,
oh, man.
Dude.
I feel like it right now. Why do I have to? How come she doesn't have to? She should do it first.
She should do it first.
Yes. And I mean, if you want to actually nitpick and get down to, like, human behavior, you know what? Probably, yes, whatever. But, yeah, at the same time, for the
just seems like the simplest instructions ever. I mean, Harry's like, go to the church. And they're like, no, why would I do that? And he's like, the church can keep you safe. And they're like, how about I don't do that? And then Lydia and Rosie's boyfriend just run around until they get attacked enough that they're like, you know what? Actually, I feel pretty devout all of a sudden. I will go to church. And the Ordo's like, we do not hang out. We're best friends and we defend each other to the death. But hanging out in a life or death situation, eh, no way, not going to do it. We all pay rent. We're all going to go home and enjoy our rent.
I'm sorry. We only get together for secret meetings to like discuss what we're going to do about it all. We don't actually. I know that's what we were all doing, was all literally hanging out in a big group when you found us. For safety. But now that you're like, oh, we're gonna look into this, you guys are right, there is a valid problem out there, there is somebody killing you, now we're all like, okay, I'm just going home, dude. It's like, I put all my time and energy into like the planning, I'm like, I got nothing left for the execution.
This shit sucks. Like, don't like it.
I talked about it for 3 weeks. It's like, it's solved now. I don't actually have to do the thing about it, right?
So Harry decides it's probably the best idea is to now bring the two women to Thomas's safe house.
And so, yes.
Abby, again, is the super cutest human ever and decides that she's going to pack food for the safe house.
It is cute. Well, and that is the one good thing that has come out of this, because, yes, they did find Olivia, right? Because what the reason he went off and left them all is because they had pictures of, I mean, not that the Ordo knew it, but of Thomas absconding with Olivia. So they do confirm that. He's like, we did find Olivia. She's with a sometime associate of mine, so she's safe, as well as half a dozen other small practitioners that are, they've been missing, but not because they're, yeah. So that's good. And then, yeah, Abby immediately is like, yeah, a bunch of them are kids. And she's like, I'll get cereal. Still my favorite thing that I think I did mention last
chapter. Does it set exactly how long Helen's been out of jail? Did Murphy say exactly when she got out earlier?
I don't remember, because I know Abby says she's known her for
years.
That's
the thing, is I am just, like weirded out. I'm like, she only went to jail. Like the court, even
you know what? You know what he does say? A nickel in the pen. So from book one, five-ish years.
Okay, so five years, yeah.
Yeah, she has been out almost as long as she was in now, I guess, if we look at it.
Because I was like, she probably didn't get convicted the same year as Stormfront, because court cases take time. But even if she's convicted in Full Moon 1 year later,
or
then Full Moon plus five, maybe, yeah, we're right around. But still, Abby knowing her for years.
Deadbeat kind of a, yeah. Yeah, I know. That line always had it through me, too, because I feel like, again, like, just because there's been no mention of her, it's like, she only came back into the story now, so she only just got out now. But, right?
It's kind of, she has her own life outside of Harry Dresden.
Whatever. But, yeah, I know.
Unless
yeah.
she knew her before the events of the first book.
I don't think so, because I don't think they would be friends with her.
They wouldn't know that she went to jail, yeah.
Yeah, I think they forget, like, now that she is a reformed and she's done her time and now she's, right? I don't think they, yeah. I don't think they would have condoned her.
And even Helen herself sort of says this is the community she sought out after jail.
Yes, that she's going, you know, the mostly straight and narrow and whatever. But
so they head out to the Blue Beetle, which now has a ticket. And Murphy rolls up on her Harley. And I read this sentence so poorly, how that she rolled up in a loose black man's shirt. What?
Now, is the black
who's
loose, who's, or what?
Whose shirt did she steal? This poor man.
Sonia, you tell.
Yeah, say Sonia.
A loose black man's shirt.
Yes.
Ha! Makes much more sense. I had to read it a few times, because I was like,
wait, what?
Yeah. Why is this pertinent?
When you're a cop, they just let you do it.
Like, Harry, yes, take my shirt off my back.
So there you go. It fucking has been Helen the whole time. Harry said so 1,000 fucking times. Everyone to give her the benefit of the doubt. And now all of your friends are dead. So good job, morons. I literally solved this in like chapter 11.
Book done.
I love, too, the little, though, as they're leaving and she gets the little Harry little birdcage looking thing for Toto. And then Mouse. Just like,
I want one.
Yeah. He's like, I need a fucking thing. You're young, you want, like, fuck that. I need a fucking like rail car and a bar.
You think that Mouse would find it like undignified, and he's like, yeah, where's mine?
In all fairness though, I mean, Mouse does do a lot of running. Like when Harry brings him out, there's usually
Mouse wants a Pokeball to go sit inside.
I was like,
remember when he used to travel in your pocket? That shit was so dope.
Right? He just curl up there and nap.
Get
for,
a bigger
like,
coat,
hours.
Bro.
But he's like, literally the last time Harry took him out, he got fucking hit by a van, okay? Like, I'd be like, yeah, get me a fucking little, like, carrier, too.
A little gunshy now, yeah?
Like, come on. He's like, excuse me, I'm a fucking temple dog. Like, respect my position.
So Harry and Murphy talk a little bit, and he explains that he was at the harbor and why he looked so rough. Ooh, yeah, that. And Murph asks, why aren't the White Court vampires actually working together? And so he does a little bit of a recap of why. Of the love of backstabbing and drama.
I like the recap of it. And he'll say it, I think, another time later to Murphy and Molly or whatever again. But essentially just like punching down the point of just like the backstabbing has to happen or yes. There is no respect within the court. That's how you play the game.
Yes, that
it's not just that they're backstabbers, but that's the part of it that they respect and actually are looking for in a leader.
Yes, yeah, nothing so gauche as to
the
being
manipulation is the impressive part.
Yes, the subtlety, the twisting, the, yeah, exactly. And I mean, again, from our perspective, we know, right? Because he's like, Lord Wraith has sought sort of non-combative whatever with the, right? But again, we know that with Laura behind the scenes too, right? She has this, not exactly truce, but she has a respect, you know, she's like, I can kind of work with Harry and do and, you know what I mean? So like there's that combination, right? Of Laura has her own reasons and good reasons for not jumping on the bandwagon and pursuing all out war, like the Reds and the Blacks and all that kind of stuff, right? So again, it's from other people, right? Again, they're like, well, why aren't we, you know, like again, the other factions aren't going to understand it as well. And again, it explains some of that resentment or whatever for being like, well, why aren't we just declaring war on the council too? Like, we don't like these guys. Why don't we, you know,
so
back up
all together? Yeah.
Yeah. Work in numbers. Right. And it's like, oh, but we, you know, again, we have the advantage of knowing some of the other things going on in that and why that makes sense for her and that. But again,
which I do wonder if the White Council themselves are sitting back at home wondering, like, why haven't they yet? And you've got someone like Harry running around who essentially does know. And it's just like, la, 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 not even worried about it. And the White Council's like, this motherfucker hangs out with Thomas, hangs out with Laura.
Once again, why is Harry under the, Yeah. You just, I don't know, all of a sudden you start getting involved in things and all of a sudden people are just like, oh, we'll just sit back and watch. And you're like, I don't understand. Why are you guys all just
going on?
Yeah. But even that, though,
I would make such a good White Court vampire. Not the sex part, just the manipulation. I would just get away with
don't
it
Don't tell yourself short. I'm sure you're fine.
Well, I was just saying, that part, that's not the appealing part to me of the White Court.
Oh, yeah.
You can have that with the red or black court too, but the manipulation part for strength is so good.
See, on the one hand, yes, I absolutely 100% agree with you. At the same time, though, you also have no patience for bullshit and indirectness. So this, I like you also very much like to beat people over the head with a stick.
We're gonna have to come up with one of those quizzes that like which
dressed universe,
which faction do you fall under?
Because I'm not saying you couldn't. I think you definitely could be deceptive and manipulative enough. But I also know that you lose patience with that, and when faced with direct like. Stupidity and frustration, you would much more rather.
But I feel like the White Court doesn't do the manipulation for like low level scum. They do just, you know, run around the field bopping little mice on the head.
So you feel you would get to punch enough people in the face that you could then do the higher up.
Yeah, like I could play the game with the people who are playing the game.
Okay.
But yeah, like all the stupid little mortals that you can fucking kill any day because who gives a shit?
Yeah, in that case, yes. That way, yeah.
Thrall farm, who cares? I'm allowed to beat them.
My thrall farm.
They are. My pantry, is that a better word? My farm to fresh table. Fresh farm table. What is it? Farm to table?
From farms to table. Her harem.
Yeah. But harem doesn't imply enough that they're food. Yeah.
She's a girl. Don't we automatically have to call it a reverse harem then? Is that actually... I don't know. I've never felt the need to look up the term harem, but does it explicitly mean like a guy with a million wives?
I don't know. It's or a recondite.
I think we just call reverse harem because it just makes more sense that way. But I think harem is obviously a either or point. It's just that in the real world, women never get one.
We're genderizing it just as a thing that's like, it's always guys with a million, so the reverse is. But.
I never took it as a gendered thing, but I guess it could...
But reverse harem is specifically meaning that it's a woman's harem.
I didn't know that. Okay.
So it implies that a harem must only be for men, but I think, you know, okay. Technically speaking, the definition is gender neutral. It's just that there's never been a woman in the real world who's had a harem, so.
Well, I mean, I'm sure there are, but yes, less common and definitely in this.
So Harry tells Murphy that he plans to go confront Helen and follow up with the passenger madrigal and Greycloak.
It's occurring to me that with this terabyte of books Tenzin is never going to be able to get through in her lifetime, that she's still not actually reading the right books. If she doesn't understand these book terms. What do you mean you don't know what a reverse harem is?
All you read is KU and you haven't come across a reverse harem. That's all that's on there.
Sorry. I also don't do hockey romances.
But still, you should be aware that they're out there.
You're missing out. I'm being a patriot. My taxes paid for heated rivalry. So Murphy finally figured out the Jessica Blanche connection. Oh my God, we've been waiting literally all book. Chapter one, like sheesh.
Yeah,
well,
she's an employee
chapter
of...
Chapter two we found out about her, come on.
The Velvet Room.
Yes.
Is now opened under new management.
Wait, but I thought I burned...
I thought some as of yet unnamed person.
A certain green-eyed gentleman gangster.
Who could that be?
So once again, we found a way to bring Marcone into the mix.
He's been gone a while, okay? I missed him.
Yeah. Which is fair, because we haven't seen him for a little while. It's like,
he's been busy doing renos.
Mm-hmm. He's been busy doing renos. So, yeah. So, and again, this is so very beautifully, typically, of course, this makes absolute sense, because Marcone is the top gangster in this town. So, of course, with the Velvet Room out of the picture, who else would pick up the pieces and reincarnate the Velvet Room?
Bianca, that's so sad that you died. Anyways.
Not really. So as I was saying, Marcone is like, well, I guess that leaves me room to take over the brothel now because I wasn't going to go up against the well-established vampire before now, but since her and her building and everything, I guess I'll just...
Yeah. That is pretty funny, yeah. Marcone's like, okay, I won't dip my toes in against a vampire brothel, but...
But since somebody conveniently got them out of the way, I guess I might as well just fold that in now.
What is it?
That's so funny. That's the most...
History abhors a vacuum.
Yeah.
Foresight bullshit in the universe to Marcone showing up in book one, chapter three, saying, work for me, Harry, and Harry being like, absolutely not, and then spends the rest of the series doing everything Marcone wants on his behalf, but for no money.
Right. This is why Marcone is the top.
Yeah, exactly. He's so
like,
good.
All right, I'm still gonna make this work. This is, I mean, yeah. Like, it's surprising we don't see more, but I mean, we don't know what's going on behind the scenes. But as far as we are, like, you think him and like you want to talk about manipulating cast pause behind the right? Marcone is like he could be like honorary member.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah,
the White Court
too. Nominate him to be the next king.
he's like I'm a little bit more overt about certain things, but he can play the game exactly.
He absolutely plays the game.
Yeah. Now again, in his line of business, it does serve to not have everything being as. But
I have a friend who just recently started the Dresden Files again. I try to convert as many as I can every month.
Again.
One of us. One
exactly.
of us.
Exactly. I've got three coworkers on the go right now reading the Dresden Files.
Does this mean that they attempted a while ago and didn't get into it?
Huh. Well, no.
You said converted it. So it's just again that you've brought another friend. Not
a new
friend.
Is yes.
Again
no,
reading
a new friend.
Okay.
So now two coworkers are currently on Full Moon.
Nice.
And one of them did just call that out. He's like, I like how Marcone like is offering to pay him for these things. And Harry keeps saying no to the money, but doing the things.
Oh, yeah.
Literally.
I know, right? It's like, Harry
was
like,
but
his backbone can stand it, okay? He's like, I'm not working for Marcone, okay? It just worked out that
you
way.
You could have zombie-proofed your house a lot earlier, Harry.
But yeah, very funny. I'm like, oh, you're already picking up on that by book two, huh? Yeah.
Just wait.
Yeah.
So Murphy suggests that Harry talk to Marcone for obvious reasons.
Yeah.
But she also teases him that his little act has made it all the way to the police precinct, and now all of the jokes are being made at his expense.
Yes. Now that, I don't know, if it might not matter to you now that you're gay.
I don't like the way that James Marsden reads that line in the audiobook, though, honestly. Because in the book, it's a little bit more like, don't you people have lives? What are you getting me? But in the book, Harry's like, what are you getting me? Like, he seems, like, interested. He's like, what was my problem?
Oh, I don't know if I read it quite the same way. I do see what I'm trying to think, because I was just...
He doesn't seem as, like, sarcastic and put off, like, what are you going to get me, Merv? Like, what now? Well, it's a lot more like,
I feel,
okay.
Yeah, no, I don't feel so much like that. I feel it was more like, wait, what are... What are you getting me?
No, he reads it so smoothly. He's like, what are you getting me? He's like, interested.
I kind of like how that would be read then, because I haven't listened to the audiobook.
Yeah.
But that's kind of fun. I like that. Kind of took it middle ground, not like really defensive, but like, 30. Here it comes.
Don't you people have lives? I said. At her continued smile, I asked warily, what are you getting me?
See, he's like interested, and he's like, what are you getting me?
See, I get it, but I do. I also hear it as, what are you getting me?
Nah, like, he seems like too interested. Like, he wants it. He's like,
I think it's partially.
Congrats on coming out gift from you, Murphy.
I love, though, their commitment to the soundtrack, like a CD or whatever. I get a deal. I'm like, that's a hell of a deal. You're going to go in on. I mean, I get they are joking and they're not, but I'm like, that still sounds like a lot of money to be putting in on like a fake joke kind of a thing. Like, I'm going to buy you like light. For your, like, wait, what? Like, man, the $20 CD would be like plenty.
I could see the musicals and I could see the Julie Newmar.
The
track lighting was kind of like, really? Track lighting is like.
But I don't know. Apparently, that's how Butcher's gay guys like, you know.
Spotlights, man.
I really like illumination design thing, right? I figure I don't know nothing and I care nothing about that kind of thing. I don't know if there's some pot lighting and track lighting. And
this is Chicago cops. They've just like.
They know stereotypes you'll never hear of.
Right.
They just light everything by mag light.
Yeah, I just assumed it was going on that whole aesthetic and like interior design and that kind of a queer eye sort of why that would matter. But either way, yes. So yes, all and it's a nice little spot for her to suddenly find a way to like pop this in. Like, it's cute. Damn it.
Because she's been holding on this one all day, too.
Right? Like, she's like, this is a couple hours.
When's a good time?
Yeah. Very cute. And then he comes out and he's like, God damn it, I got a fucking. And I'm like, yeah, I'd be the same way. I'm like, I'm no longer thinking about the world. At least I didn't get killed. I'm like, well, like, had somebody, like, attacked me and I'd been close enough to the bill. You know what I mean? But I'm like, none of that transpired, but I still have the tickets. So I'm just like, God damn fucking, like, what were they? Like, but you said that would be okay if you, right? Yep. Like, you, but you're still. Pissed that it happened, even though, yeah, I'm like 100% with you there. I'm like, even though on the one hand, you're like, you resign yourself ahead of time. I'm like, no, I would still be fucking like, because I'd be the same way.
All the cops know who I am.
There's no way that, well, I was going to say at this point, if they know enough to know who you are and they also fucking can recognize your clown car, right?
No clown car jokes.
Which is cute, but I'm like, there wasn't that many of them to squeeze in.
Maybe just the color of it.
No. But Abby, Priscilla.
I know a lot of people in the car, but.
Yes, I was just saying he made.
But aren't clown cars usually like punch bugs?
They
I'm
often,
pretty sure.
They are usually portrayed. Like, yes, usually
some
when you
silly,
see
like,
them
little,
is exactly a little
bubble.
Because they are small cars. And then, yes, that is probably.
And they're a dome, so you can fit a surprising amount of people who are really flexible.
There you go. But, yes, I was just saying it's just because literally da, 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 da.
Thank you to our Patreon subscribers for your generous support. It's people like you who help us to do what we do. If you're not yet a Patreon subscriber, sign up today and get a fuck ton of bonus content, kick-ass merch, behind-the-scenes outtakes, and more. Sign up today at www.patreon.com/freeflowrambling.
Chapter 28. Harry and Murphy get to the new Velvet Room and are given the royal treatment. Marcone meets with them personally and introduces them to his manager, Ms. Demeter. Miss Demeter.
Close.
She went a little past that. Huh, meet the new Velvet Room, same as the old Velvet Room.
Yes, a gentleman's health club.
So this is
funny on a few levels. Ha ha.
On a few. This is cute. I like how he's taken it over, but has done it Marcone style, right? Has not left it the same. And it makes sense in a way for him and his business, how he, as opposed
a super
to
classy Hooters.
As to how Bianca would have run it in the more, I don't know, traditional,
sensual.
Yeah, exactly right. You think of all the velvet, right? The velvet and the drapery, right? And he's like, no, okay, let's. And even Murphy's like, it's progressive. You can get in shape, generate testosterone, and find an outlet for it all. And like, you know what I mean? Like, it's such a good little cover and makes so much sense. Like, it's so on brand and everything like that. Such.
All of the perks.
Yeah, I mean, and again, just for Marcone, if you know, you know, you're not fooling anybody. But if you don't, again, just that much more so. Like, it's a private health club. You know, like, per, you walk in and there's gym equipment. It, right, makes perfect sense, right? It's not even, like, trying to hide it as much as a hotel-looking brothel.
I have a question about some of the logistics, because maybe I just didn't understand the setup from the first book.
Perfect. Jessica and I will school you on a brothel. Go.
Harem. H.
Reverse. Okay.
Touche. Okay, so there's a mention that it's the renovated Hotel Madison where we started
this whole thing, yeah.
But so this isn't the same location as the original Velvet Room?
It
were
is
they
not.
Like next to each other? Or so you
not
just
even,
it's just called the Velvet Room?
Yeah.
So the original was on Bianca's property.
Okay.
Was her big mansion-y porn house.
All right, so that's where the original one was.
Yeah.
But now this is actually Hotel Madison rebuilt as a replacement Velvet Room.
Yeah, so he basically has just taken it over. I was going to say in name only, but not in name because he's changed the name of it.
It's now executive priority.
But basically, yeah, he just kind of absorbed it. Mm-hmm. So what existed before as the Velvet Room and was probably not the only because it's Chicago, but say, let's say the preeminent, the only worthy one of note.
Okay.
The high class.
Main,
best of the best.
Yeah, the Hilton brothel was the Velvet Room or whatever.
If you're in the know, then you know
this is where you
redo.
This isn't your Hooters.
And if you're not in the know, then it wasn't for you anyways.
Exactly. Right. So yes.
Okay.
So he has basically absorbed that business, that clientele.
It is the Velvet Room in spirit.
In spirit. Yes, thank you. There you go. In spirit only. Yeah. So that
when the last bathhouse gets shut down, here's the new one.
Meet the new Velvet Room, same as the old Velvet
Got
Room,
it.
Except that it looks different. But yes,
I think I just sort of assumed that it was the same location, and then was confused by the mention of the.
You kind of feel like that when you're like, oh, you took over the Velvet Room and reopened.
Varsity's in a new room, or a new space.
New space.
The Velvet Room's
yeah.
in a new space. The Madison is
well, the Madison is still in the same space, but it's no longer a hotel.
The Madison.
Now it's got this.
This is the thesis of businesses for Marcone.
Yeah. So yeah, now he's got all these little shops
thesis.
On the boutiques on the main floor.
Thesis.
Yes, and now he's got his yeah. And I'm not sure because they're still renovating, so I'm not sure if any of it's still going to be hotel or not. I don't remember exactly what
he's
they say.
Building to Valhalla.
Next step, he's like, all right, we started with like
the nine worlds in one hotel.
Well, let's see. Started off with some like minor, you know, like wizardy practitioners, and then came like werewolves, and then like some fairies. So he's
got
just
guard, like
yeah. Right. He's just working his way up, literally to like.
It really is impressive that he has like such an awareness of supernatural.
It really
like,
is
for being a.
Well, and the thing with Marcone, he's like, if you just open your eyes, it's like fucking math. Like, duh.
Yeah, exactly.
One plus one's not that hard.
And this is why Harry makes the point. Again and again, of
it was
part
dangerous.
Of what,
like, we know it.
Why he
what
is
Murphy's
so.
First instance was the little tiny ogre, big ogre turned into little tiny ogres.
Yes, all the little tiny trolls. But it's.
But
it's,
what was? I wonder what his was his first experience like that introduced him to el supernatural.
Largely,
I don't know,
it was
possibly Tom getting blown up. Yeah, you think that was the first time though?
Because he already seemed like he knew it was.
I think he's just good at rolling with the punches.
I think that is a lot of it. Yeah.
But at the same time, like, he was on Harry's doorstep.
Right away.
Like, this is essentially, like, this street is where they met. Like.
Yes, that's true. Because it's, Harry leaving.
They just parked where he met Marcone. Like, Marcone's such a romantic, actually.
When you think about it,
he's sentimental.
He's really sentimental, yeah.
He would never cop to it, but he's
like, I remember our first date, Harry.
Yeah.
It's our spot.
It's our spot, yeah. This is where we met.
Yeah, very.
To all those shippers out there.
That's the best OTP of the Dresden Files. That's my number one.
Right.
Think of what the two of them could accomplish if they just joined forces.
Oh, my God.
Marcone keeps trying. Marcone knows full well what they can accomplish. Jesus Christ, Harry, get on the same page already.
Oh, I love women. Meh, I hate progress.
Grumpy old wizard. But yeah, because I was going to say he seemed to sort of know that Harry
He knew about Harry.
He knew about, but hadn't really. But so yeah, I don't know that he had much. But maybe I'm just gonna. No, I can.
Oh, is it a crime to own a phone book now in 2001? Sorry.
Not then. It is now.
It is now.
You can still barely get away with it. And
so Murphy and Harry make it to the new Velvet Room, which is now a health club with perks, as we were talking about. And they go in.
Mm-hmm.
Murphy buzzes. Executive priority at the it's got a security door. It's all fancy and shit.
So yeah, this is
and Bonnie.
This answers. Is the other thing that makes me kind of wonder, because like, so yeah, in a minute here, when he gets past all this and actually goes in, he's like, it's all these little shops and boutiques on the main floor, health club on the second, and then whatever they're going to do with the rest of it once they renovate it, they're going to keep it as a hotel or turn it into apartments or more executive offices. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But yet, exactly. I'm like, I understand even for like the health club and that. Like, yeah, it's a personal or it's a private. But obviously, you got a buzz to go shopping. Like, you can't. Again, is this just because it's like after hours?
I assumed it was after hours.
That's the only
neither.
Reason.
I kind of assumed it's like, you know, the main floor is all the little shops. You can go in and out of those, not a problem. Do whatever you want. You know, Starbucks or FabFitFun.
But he doesn't see that until after they get buzzed in. Then they go through the door, and then he's like, oh, there's all these little shops and boutiques. So it obviously wasn't open. It wasn't until they went in. So this, to me, is like an apartment door, right? Where it's locked from the outside. You got your row of buzzers to get...
Well, maybe you still could have gone in without it. But either way, I just assume, like, it's like offices on the top floor, so you just can't get into them like shops, you know. You do need to have like an appointment or something to go, but I don't know.
Which that guy, like I say, for the health club itself, I can potentially see that you got a butt because that is a private health, right? You can't just, but that's what
it's
I mean.
So exclusive. You have
it's
to be
so exclusive.
In for shopping.
It's yeah, but that's the thing though. I was like, but the main floor sounds like it should just be like a shopping. That sounds like it should be open. I mean,
maybe like it's got outside access, but if you want to access it from the inside, you do need to have a member. I don't know.
I don't know anything at all in the whole world.
Well, then you people are useless for me because you have it useless to me.
It just doesn't matter to me. I just don't care, quite frankly, about how you access the Starbucks in the bottom of the Madison of the executive priority health building.
Either way.
Because he wants everybody. This is the thing, right? And like, he's all about making the money you want. You don't want to block access to the Starbucks, so I don't know.
Either way, Bonnie doesn't want to.
Maybe he doesn't want to stand in line for Starbucks.
Still don't understand his business model, okay?
Why, Tanzin? Why do you want to talk about the book so bad?
I want Marcone to explain to me the ways of the gangster so I understand.
Did Murphy set Harry up?
For what?
Does she or does she not know who Miss Demeter is?
I think she does not know.
Really? Because this whole interaction made me think that she does know. Because she's like, I know that your manager is in, and I will speak to Miss Demeter right now. And Bonnie says, blah, 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 go fuck yourself.
I think that's just the general getting the my boss is an in runaround.
I understand that, but since Murphy happens to know the name is Miss Demeter, and I know she's in right now, it makes me think that Murphy knows who Miss Demeter is.
I don't think she does. I think she just talked to her on the phone to make the appointment.
But she didn't. That's the problem, is they don't have an appointment.
Oh, but I think
she,
just like...
She phoned to find out that that's where Jessica...
Talks to. Okay.
She found out this was the Jessica Blanche connection. She could therefore find again.
Right, so she knows there's a manager named Miss Demeter, but still, so, I like.
Yeah, I do get
her insistence makes me feel like she knows.
I do get what you're saying, and I see
intimidation tactics.
I read it as that definitely the other way. The boss is it bullshit. This is a ritzy high class Marconi.
I took it as has,
yeah. I know. Somebody in charge is going to be here, even though, yeah, you are fair that way in the fact that, yeah, I do sort of keep forgetting that they're showing up in the middle of the night and it would be reasonable for there not to be, but yes, I think...
Still, I do like the whole, Bonnie, this isn't a fight you want to have. Go find somebody. Go move it up priority.
She's like, okay. Bonnie suddenly realized the advantage of passing the buck. You know, I'm like, yep, been there, done that. Yep, Let me just go ask my...
Oh, wait, Dresden? No, sir.
I got to admit... Didn't see that coming the first time.
It's so good.
I was so fucking...
I was
just as flabbergasted as Dresden. Wait, what?
Yeah, speeding forward a little bit when you find out that Marcone is like, yeah, all of my businesses are under orders to treat you highly respected in hopes you don't burn us down again. So good.
Well, you just, he said you'll just be so, so disoriented by me.
Yeah.
And it's really a good thing that Murphy trusts him now because if this had happened...
Yeah, exactly. She'd be like, oh, really? Like, oh, a VIP, huh?
Platinum member.
Meanwhile, she's instead just standing here giggling while he gets loaded down. And this is the fact that he lets himself get loaded down, too. I'm like, this is a trap and you're going to die. Also, you get a free sweatsuit. And Harry's like, oh, my God, new purple sweatpants. My last ones got destroyed.
I was
really expecting that the club membership to have, like, for him, be a contract for him to sign that he has to, like, enforce. Like, that's where
no.
I was going with that.
Yeah, that too. And he, like, signs the agreement.
Yeah, like, fine print.
I will not burn down.
Obviously, I've barely ever been the member of a gym, let alone a platinum. But yeah, I was like, freaking, I'm like, I get, you know, you get the little, like, sports bottle, but he's like, they fucking give you a gym bag full of clothes, and I was like, here's your workout
and a leather bag.
And you know, I'm like, oh, yeah, okay, platinum, right? That fancy brothel.
Everything.
Health club. But, yeah, I was like, I guess this is, like, country club thing or whatever. But, yeah, I was just like, damn, like, join a club. You don't even have to go and buy your own.
And just so, yeah, and like, and it's his size shoe.
It's that, I know.
Marcone is so romantic. There's everything about him. He's I like, really I, wanted there to be,
I can just
you know,
size it up by looking at you. Like,
context before sport. This moment where Harry is complaining about having lost a shoe and being like stupid fucking cleaning fairies. But surely, like, Marcone's also the guy who just, like, you know, measured his footprint and his shoe print once and was like, all right.
He's just got connected. Yeah, exactly. Who cares? He's just, yeah, exactly.
Hendrix is following behind and he's hoping he's going to step
he
in
a
puddle.
He was at a puddle last one day and saw Harry buy shoes and he was like, all right.
I'm going to say, I'm going to start Harry at like a size 13 or 14, just so you know. 11.
I don't know enough about men's shoes.
I get that.
Okay,
I'm just saying, like, it's, yeah, no, I'm going to, yeah.
Point is, Marcone is so invasive. And we love that for him.
He's just that good. I mean, know your enemy. He's like, know your, I'm going to know everything. And it's either one of those, like, where, like, you say he, you know, followed, like, after Harry leaves the shoe store or something, one of his guys goes and be like, hey, wait. Or
that's what I'm saying, yeah.
Or it's also, I could also see being the other way where he's like, okay, we're going to put together this. And they, like, just look at video of, like, Harry on, like, his surveillance and they do the whole mathematical, like, okay, take the building he's standing to here. So Harry's like,
I like even better. The car just looks at him and just, yeah, 13.
Like, any and all of those could be, right? Like, this is just the people Marcone has.
Hell,
like,
pay off a cleaning fairy. Oh, the options are endless.
Harry gets you Pizza Express, I'll go Pizza Hut. None of that cheap pizza 73 for you. I'll get you the good super deluxe.
So they are let in, and the place is super fancy with these guiding lights showing them the path to exercise.
I know, even that. It was like this fucking little, like, red carpet, like, theater runway. To the elevator, yeah.
You kind of half expect them to walk down, and the little bulbs start to pop each right from when he walks past.
Yeah. Shit, that's funny. Cause
that's so much money in that.
I was imagining the little bit like as it lights up just ahead of you, but now them following behind as they go.
They all look like something waitresses at Hooters would wear, only tight. I'm like, damn.
I know. I was like, honestly, I haven't been to a Hooters, but I was under the impression that those were pretty snug t-shirts.
I did put a note here that Harry at least makes a euphemism and says that they've got really nice smiles.
Mm-hmm.
So it's...
And I mean, like, priority membership, he even gets to bring up a plus one. So this place is pretty bougie. Like,
which, yeah, right? Normally, like Spa Lady or whatever the fuck that place was called. Yeah, you get, like, you know, like, one person, like, a month or something. You could get, and that was just so they could try and, like, suck them into the thing or whatever, too, right?
That's too bad Harry has weird ethics because just come here for a massage every week. You might relax, dude.
That I was going to say, forget. Yeah, even if you don't want me, and Harry doesn't know, he's been working out so much. I was like, I don't mind being nicer to run on a treadmill than, like, fucking out in the rain or something. Winter Chicago. However, but yeah, like you say, that alone, I was like, if anybody needs that kind of shit, you know, Harry, I'm like, I get you don't want the rest of it. I get you don't want, but I'm like, technically, you're not really supporting Marcone because he gave you this membership.
You're not paying.
You're not actually paying.
You're just slightly acting like your friends on his team supporting him.
Sort of. Just, you know, I don't know. I didn't know.
Yeah,
I just
just flip it around and be like, I'm going to go eat all his food for free. I'm going to drink all his orange juice.
I'm going to take all his mustard. Like, yeah, no kidding. Yeah.
Towel service just stuffs his bag. Taking this potted plant.
All right. I'd be like, I can't afford shit.
Picks up the whole coffee maker. Like, when's Marcone gonna actually stop me?
He basically just invited me to here. He's like, just treat him like so he doesn't wreck them. And he's like, I'm gonna just have this. I'm gonna just.
Picking up a chair. Can I get out of the door with this? No, you're really not gonna stop me. I'm coming back with a rug next week, guys. That'd be so funny.
Harry's like, Michael, I need to borrow the pickup truck. I can't fucking say. He's like, you know what?
At that point, I think Marcone would stop him, but I'm like, I want...
Executive priority, I'm just putting this treadmill in my basement, okay? Because I'm like, I don't want to have to fucking come here every... But I've really taken up running, so I really want to have...
I think if you asked Bonnie and be like, yo, could you put an extension cord to the treadmill out in the parking lot? She'd have to do it. Like, executive priority VIP. Like, huh. I think it's her job to figure it out and call someone to do this, it.
Right? You just make it happen.
It was just the person she called would be Hendrix, and he would just be staring Harry down.
See, that would be the only problem, though, if he did start showing up there. Like, he'd be fine for, like, his massages and shit, because you don't need anything but, like, you know, like a radio for some nice music. But I was like, no kidding. All this felt like he's saying all the high tech.
True, Marcone doesn't want him to actually show up.
Yeah,
he'll be replacing him constantly.
All like these treadmills and cycles and stuff. Like, yeah, no kidding. You'd be shorting the shit out of like all this kind of, like a lot of it is still basic.
It all tracks your calories and your
your heart rate, anything electric. But also complete full service. He gets a blonde, a brunette, and a redhead. Like, you don't even have to choose. Like, one of each greets him at the door with his whole, like,
that's the three types of woman.
This is, yeah, that's all that exists.
No more.
Blonde, brunettes, and redheads, but yeah.
But I want a Xena lookalike.
That would be a brunette.
You also get a, what's I'm gonna call it, a personal trainer every time you show up. Oh! Means they gotta be ready, like they're clocking in every day regardless. The guy who got Harry Dresden is, like, coasting.
Granted, I'm sure they have more than one client, but you're right.
But if they all showed up at the same time, they would all have to be ready. So do you think Marcone is just like, they didn't hire one for him?
Which is why they're like, make a fucking appointment. You can't just fucking show up because we don't have your girls and your trainers.
With how much I'm paying, I'm going to be here whenever I want.
But that's got to be the one-off. So yeah, they've got to, it's like hotels and airplanes, right? You book like 90%, but you always leave those couple for the people that just walk in off the street. It's the same thing.
Uh-huh. Okay, but here's
Marcone's
the interesting part.
Like, book your fucking appointments and then we'll deal with the Dresdens when they get here.
Bonnie's scared of Dresden.
Yeah, she's trying not to, but
she's clammy and cold and
nervous.
Clearly nervous, yeah.
Well, all of a sudden, this great big hulking guy who just threatened her with, like, police and all this kind of, sure, go ahead, call the cops, Bonnie. Mm-hmm. We can do this the easy way or the hard way. But yes, so whatever, so either, because she's very, at first she's like, oh, I mean, again, especially
of course,
the way
that's her job, customer service.
Oh, Mr. Dresden's so happy, but, so yeah, does it somebody clue you in afterwards and be like, do you know who the fuck this guy is? Like, on the way up to
maybe
the elevator?
Maybe there's a note in the file.
Or you, exactly, that was just like your
although
automatic.
To be fair to her, I'm sure most of the VIP members are scary dudes, so she's probably at this point like, oh, another one. Oh, great.
There could just very well be that too, exactly. The kind of people that Marcone has coming through her are people you should be nervous about pissing off one way or the other or whatever, so.
Of all of our clients, which are probably some scary people, this one is the scariest.
Yeah, she may not know exactly why or what, but again, yeah, if you've got judges and things that can, you know, politicians that can, you know, make you disappear in a heartbeat, yeah, one more scary guy.
For Bonnie, Harry is very recondite.
Come down. Yes.
One day I'm going to actually just put that in.
And the PDA. What is Harry ever going to do with that PDA? Here, Murphy. I just got your new PDA.
Nice, done.
So they're kept waiting for 20 minutes, which is also very funny.
Again, also very Marcone and
yep.
The whole.
Show up whenever you want, Harry, and I will show up whenever I want.
Yeah, you show up in a nice, I will.
Uh-huh.
But, I mean, this is just how, again, he's bougie or whatever, because Harry's like, do I have to tip you? And she's like, even that is included and shit like that. Like, we don't do anything so gauche as you actually handing us, like, cash while we're.
That's ridiculous.
Which, again, great for Harry, because he has, like, again, his 50-cent tip in this place would just be like.
She just looked him up and down and was like, no.
No.
I don't know how you got in here, but stay away from me.
She's like, I understand your confusion now, having seen you. Like,
most of our clients come here bathe.
Hey, man, when you're just putting out that kind of money, you fucking shower there.
No, I don't think so.
I think I've seen this before, but it was a clip of the Graham Norton show. Regardless of who else was there, Melissa McCarthy and, like, Chris Pratt are two of the four guests or whatever. And Graham Norton is razzing her about these heads. So she's like, yeah. So she's like, I did a bunch of, like, theater in New York and then, like, moved to L.A. And they're like, you know, she's like, I get my first, like, commercial agent. They're like, you need headshots. So she's like, they're like, oh, you have to do, like, characters and stuff like that. And she's like, she was doing some little bit play or whatever. So she's like, I don't know why, but she's like, I thought, oh, great, I'll do, like, Carol, like, the lady that hands out cheese or whatever. So they had these two quite funny headshots. And yeah, so the one is, like, she's wearing, like, these little, like, granny glasses. And they're black and white. But she's like, literally, she's like, I was 26 in that picture. She's like, I don't know why I went for, like, the grandma with, like, the gray wig and, like, the granny glasses. And then the other one. Again, like, her hair is really curly. She got this big, and she literally had, and it was so funny because, I don't know, maybe just because I have a kid, but she had, like, this little, like, Barbie cowboy hat. So, like, this little teeny tiny cowboy hat strapped in her hair, like a real hat or whatever. So, yeah, so they're making fun. She's like, oh, my God, like, this was so embarrassing. Like, I don't know what I was thinking. I don't know why they let me do this, blah, blah, blah. And then it was funny because then Chris Pratt is like, oh, well, yeah, same kind of a thing. He's like, I showed up, like, again, early 20s or whatever, broke. And he's like, he had his post box or something like that. I can't remember. I don't think it was actually it was like his agent's place. I think it was like picking up the mail. But he was like in West Hollywood, which is known again for being predominantly gay in that, right? So he's like, I was there, you know, getting my mail. And this guy comes up to me and he's like, do I know you? Like, are you a model or whatever? And Chris Pratt is like, no, man, I'm just, and he's like, oh, and he's like, cause he's like, I'm a photographer. And so again, he's like, here he is like this dumbass 20-year-old. He's like, oh, he's like, really? He's like, I need headshots. The guy's like, yeah, sure. He's like, you know what? My place is just like a couple of blocks from me. And Chris is like, yeah, okay, sure. Oh my God. Cause he's like, I'm fucking broke. I can't afford to go get, right? So he's like, yeah, literally this guy like works in the post office and is like, are you a model? Like, I would take your picture. And he's like, fuck, actually I need shots. So he's like, go. And then the guy's like, oh, he's like, you probably kind of like grind. Like, you probably want to shower. He's like, ooh, actually, yeah, yeah. And it's just so funny because you just see that gray one and Melissa McCarthy and everything just being like, oh my God. Like, we all see where this is going. And so he's like, yeah, he's like, I showered. And that was the thing. Because he's like, so he like lends him this shirt. And he's like, he goes out and he like takes all these pictures. And he's like, yeah. And he's like, then we done. The guy like opens up the camera, takes out the roll, hands it to me. And is like, here you go. And he's like, cool. And he's like, I went, and then it was funny, and Gray Warren's like, yeah, he's like, meanwhile, he's got the second set that he's, like, selling on the internet, he's like, oh, but yeah, it was just so funny, just as being this totally clueless idiot, it was just like, let me go to the stranger's house, you just want to take pictures of me, okay, perfect, I just happen to need that, bless your soul, Chris, it could have ended very differently.
Nope, Hendrix.
So, so fun, like, just the way Harry loves to just needle these little things, and just, yeah.
Mrs. Demeter, you look almost exactly like this criminal scumbag I met once.
Makes me laugh
every time.
That is a good line.
It is good.
And then, Sergeant.
Ooh! Oh, you bastard.
He's so funny.
Oh, I missed that.
Yeah.
Oops.
Yep.
Yeah.
Sergeant.
Nope.
Sergeant. Trying to arrest me. Uh-huh.
Well, it's funny because you said, like, Marcone makes him wait 20 minutes. He's like, oh, you're going to pop up. I'm going to. But even, like, same thing here, right? Harry's like, oh, I just want to move my envelope. And everybody, like, goes for their guns, like, some kind of. But it's like the same thing, right? Murphy waits just long and be like, I'm not taking my hand out of my shirt because Marcone told me to take my hand. I am my own person. I am choosing not to actually shoot you full hold right now. But I love that
moment of Marcone just being like, everyone stop. It's so good.
It's because it actually works. Yeah. Exactly. Murphy's like, I fucking don't. But just, I envy that. I don't have that knack for that.
It's really a male thing. People don't listen to us.
Honestly. you know what? It's sad, but it's true. A lot of that is exactly because of, like, the timbre and the, like, exactly that deep, that resonant, that has, it does so much more effect than our little squeaky voices being like, excuse me, stop, which sucks. But is true that, yes, our being loud and aggressive is not as scary.
One of my friends has officially decided to make the transition to a woman. And me and my best friend were like, congratulations. You take these last few months of being respected and listened to because it's never going to happen again. Your opinion being heard, stop ever thinking that's going to happen. Your authority that you have right now,
it's about
never
to be
again.
Yeah, all that stuff.
Say goodbye to that, okay?
Take for granted.
Yeah.
Going, gone. Yeah.
Exactly.
But now,
same knowledge, no one's listening.
But on top of that, just how he goes on to say, where he's like, and I get it, he's like, you're a great bodyguard, Hendrix, aces on your response time and your reflexes. Harry doesn't need to pull a concealed weapon, you know? And it's just like, ooh, even that. Right?
I thought,
like,
it was interesting because he almost mirrored what Harry's reservations were when they were, before they came in.
Why would he make me VIP?
Him and Murphy were talking about, is this a trap? And Murphy goes on to explain, if he wants you dead, we'd already be dead.
Yes, yes.
So this is almost the exact same thing
where Marco's like, it's like two smart
guys
have already
weighed
each other up.
You're already dead. Like, they said almost exactly the same thing about each other.
Yeah.
That's what makes them so good, though, because Harry says, he's like, you know, the devil you know. Like, we know how Marcone plays the game. He knows how we play the game. We actually get progress when we work together because we fucking know each other.
We're not doing all the other bullshit and
like
guessing.
With the Duke,
like,
or Ortega or some of these other issues where it's like, I don't really know how far I can trust this guy. Harry and Marcone are like, listen, we know what the other's
exactly,
in for.
Yeah, like, even soul gazes aside kind
that
of a
too,
thing,
yeah.
You know, I think they just would have, but yeah, with that, yeah. Exactly right.
Such a good team. Go home and read fan fiction about them. I've never read it, but I'm into it today, this episode.
I'm feeling just wait.
I'm kind of with you there, actually.
Yeah, like this,
you know,
is
the
so,
more I think of it, I'm like, yeah.
It's such a good team. If you like this, Jessica, you should read a few more books in this series. Just wait till you see what Harry and Marcone get up to in the future.
Yeah.
Such a good... But yeah, it is. It's just so many of these just perfect little... But it's one of those, like, you know that I know that you know that I know that you know, right?
I feel bad that you feel bad about us feeling bad about you feeling bad because I said no when you...
Exactly. But it's, yeah, you can just cut through all of that, right? It's like, is there playing for trouble? We're too smart to fall into a trap. And Marcone is like, well, he could be setting a trap if he's too smart to know that I'm... Yeah, it's just, yeah. Brilliant, awesome. This should be the spinoff.
That's what the TV show should have been about. A wizard sleeping with a mob boss.
Those are the rewrites.
That's my heated rivalry.
Yeah. Ooh. Trust me, we would have far less complaints about the
action. That's how Dude South should have gone.
Well, again, that is if you read the fanfic.
Oh, I wow.
Okay, but actually finally having this connection to Jessica Blanche actually is so nice because it was a big red, like, what the fuck is going on here? Why is this random girl?
But one thing.
As we find out in the next moments here, Miss Demeter is actually Helen Beckett and she's been working for Marcone and it's all this whole bloobity blue. But clearly when Madrigal was stalking her, he saw them hanging out together and just assumed she was another member of the Ordo.
Dumbass.
Like, and it all makes sense in hindsight, but...
It doesn't, yeah. It doesn't. And can I just say, after Tanzin pointed out the misdemeanor, every time you say it, that's like all my brain can hear now.
Misdemeanor, 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 misdemeanor.
You're welcome.
Yeah, thank you.
Do you think that's a joke on Tanzin's part or Jim Butcher's? <I don't, laughs> Who got to it first?
It works so well on so many levels.
Make that the title.
Well, I was also thinking, because they have that theme of using the Greek mythology for the names.
Yeah.
But what's the first thing that Murphy does is like, haven't you learned from the other Greek mythologies? Don't eat or drink anything while you're in the domain of the devil.
Fairies down that mimosa.
Yeah,
though.
Fairies drink. Yeah, that actually
I
was
said the
funny.
Same thing. I was like, you're getting poisoned, lady. You're gonna die.
See, again, this is her respect for her enemy. She's like, yeah, Marcone's not gonna just.
She's like, I really need a drink.
And I mean, all the times you're at, you are off duty, so there is that. And yeah, just
get the vacation.
I'm on vacation. So I'm gonna die. Somebody bombed me. Yesterday. I'm drinking this fucking mimosa.
But like, right, one more layer of absurdity on the other that, yeah, she's like, no, fuck this. I'm taking the, yep, nope, yep.
Yep.
No thanks. I'm driving.
This concludes our episode 18.14. To Harry Dresden, thanks for everything, misdemeanor. Thank you for listening. See if anybody made
it
that far.
Only, I was going to say, you only get that joke if you listened.
You can find us online at freeflowrambling.com and macanalys.ca. There we have links to our other podcasts, social media, and other fun tidbits. Please subscribe if you like what you're hearing, and please consider supporting us through Patreon to keep the magic alive and to see more content. We are Free Flow Rambling. Conjure by it at your own risk.